They're not very long stories, so listen in carefully, and I hope I tell them well enough for you. As Dave said a moment ago, I'm going to tell three stories, and after each story, what I'd like us to do is just be quiet for just 15 seconds. Do you all reckon that you could be quiet for only 15 seconds? And just to think about the story and think what it might mean for you. Do you reckon you could do, Hannah, could you be quiet for 15 seconds? Do you reckon you could be quiet for 15 seconds? Yeah? Joe, do you reckon you could? No. Let's try it out. You see, basically what I'm saying, over three stories, and starting with 15 seconds now, we'll experiment. I've never done this before. I'm way out of my comfort zone, asking everyone to be real quiet for 15 seconds. Over the three stories, we will have been quiet for less than a minute, yeah? And including the experiment we do now, it'll only be 1 minute. 1 minute of quiet. Do you reckon we could do it? Yeah. Yeah. Jenny, my sister, teacher, she says yes. So let's go for it, okay? Ready? 3, 2, 1, go. You can breathe again. It feels like a long time, doesn't it, all of a sudden? It's just 15 seconds. Okay, let's get to our first story, shall we? The first story is about Barabbas, and there is a picture coming up off the screen there. There we are. There is Barabbas. Barabbas. I wonder, what do you think Barabbas would say about Jesus's crucifixion? I wonder what Barabbas would say about Jesus dying on the cross. Well, let me tell you what I think he might have thought. Let me tell you how he might have told his story. So listen in. Here goes the story, perhaps in the way that Barabbas might have put it. Let me speak as if I was Barabbas. It makes no sense to me. I was sat in a stinking, horrible, dark, smelly prison. I'd been a bully at school. I'd stolen things. I'd mugged people. I tried to lead a rebellion against the government. I'd murdered people. I knew that it was only a matter of time before some guards came and took me away and I would be executed. I would be killed. I knew it was only a few moments. The door of the jail, the cell rattled, and in came some guards, and in my mind I thought, this is it. This is where it's going to happen. I am going to die. They marched me out, and you know that they didn't head to where I thought they were going to be taking me. They actually led me to meet the governor, Pilate. And they stood me out in front of a great crowd. So there was Pilate, and there was a great crowd of people. And next to me, they shoved this man, Jesus. And he was all covered in blood and spit. He'd been beaten up. I'd heard about this man, Jesus. He was very, very different to me. He was honest. He was a good man. He was a kind man. Everyone knew about Jesus being a good man. And there he was by me, all beaten up and bleeding. I heard later on that Pilate and Herod and even the people that ended up crucifying him, they all said he was innocent. And I believed it. I believed that he was innocent. Which is why I was stunned. Which is why I was shocked that when Pilate said to the crowd, who should I free for you today? Shall I free Barabbas? Or Jesus? I was stunned when the whole crowd started shouting, free Barabbas! They were shouting my name, Barabbas! Barabbas! Free Barabbas! And Pilate said, well, what about Jesus? And they said, crucify him! Crucify him! And they kept shouting it louder and louder and louder. You see, Jesus was innocent. And he was punished. He suffered. He was killed, and I, though I was guilty, though I was a criminal, was offered a pardon. Let's spend 15 seconds thinking about Barabbas and how we relate to his story. And then in a moment, Dave, over to you. So 15 seconds, starting now, just to think.
Good Friday is good because by the mercy of God, the guilty are pardoned. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, the Bible says. And we're going to stand and sing about that now. Here is love, vast as the ocean. Great, please sit down. We're going to pick up the story once again in Luke's Gospel, and Sam's going to come and do our next reading for us. Luke 23, starting at verse 26.
So this is Luke 23, 26 to 34, page 1064 in Church Bibles. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and the women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments.
Thank you, Sam. I thought you did brilliantly with the first and the second 15 seconds. So you're ready for the third 15 seconds, yeah? Are you ready for the second story? Okay, good on you, Josh. Picture of this person coming up. It's not actually a photograph of him, but someone who he might have looked like this. It was the centurion who is in charge of crucifying Jesus. There he is. What do you think the centurion would have said about Jesus' crucifixion? What was his perspective? How would he tell his story of those days' events? Well, this is what he might have said. "I crucified Jesus. They sent him to me already beaten up and bruised, and he had a black eye, and he was covered in his own blood and other people's spit. They'd whipped him. They'd whipped him really hard. Those guys who do the whipping, boy, I think they love their job a little bit too much. You know, I crucified lots of criminals in the past, and this man was different, this Jesus. See, normally when you crucify somebody, you need four or five, sometimes six strong soldiers. You need one guy on each arm and one guy on each leg, and then you need one guy to sit on his chest, because they fight. Who wants to be crucified? They fight, they kick, they scream, they swear, they bite. You don't go near their face. They'll do all they can to try and escape, but not this Jesus. Has no fight in him at all. No swearing, no pleading with me. Amazingly, a prayer to God. a prayer, not for himself, a prayer for me. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I knew what I was doing. I was getting rid of a guy who had become a nuisance. I was carrying out my orders, but he said I didn't know. I was aware perhaps there was something more significant, deeper going on. If my sister had been around, she's very superstitious, she'd have said there was a deeper kind of magic moving around at this time. And, you know, I think she may well have been right. I heard later that when Jesus died, the curtain in the temple was torn in two, that Jewish temple, torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the way to God, as it were, the Holy of Holies, was made open. There was something deeper going on as Jesus died. Father, forgive them. He forgave me as I killed him. He forgave me as I killed him. I couldn't help but say, certainly this man was innocent. And you know what? You know, he wasn't just innocent. And don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong when I say this, because what I'm about to say might sound bad unless you hear me right. So I don't want to sound like I'm dancing on his grave. But you know, when he died, I found my heart actually praising God. It was strange. I couldn't help it. Jesus is the Son of God. He forgave me as he died. He died for me. Certainly, he was innocent. Certainly, this man, Jesus, is the Son of God. 15 seconds, yeah? Just to be quiet, to think how the centurion story relates to us and our story. And back to Dave.
The soldiers, Jesus said, didn't know what they were doing. They didn't get the full extent of what was going on. But Jesus knew full well. And on that cross before he died, he shouted out, "It is finished. It is finished." We're going to sing a song now that expresses what it was that was finished, what it was that Jesus accomplished for us there on the cross. Let's stand and sing. Next bit for us in Luke 23, and then it'll be back over to Tim. So, Rebecca.
And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who was hanging railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now, when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things.
Thanks, Pegs. You ready for the third and final story, yeah? Yeah. I think you've done brilliantly with thinking and listening today. The third story is about the criminal, or one of the criminals, who was crucified with Jesus. A picture coming up on the screen behind me. There he is. I wonder, what did this criminal, the criminal who was crucified with Jesus, who was there on a cross next to him, would have said if he was to tell his story about that day, if he was going to tell his story of Jesus' death on the cross and what it meant for him. Well, here's what I think he might say if he was to come down from heaven and speak to us today. This might be how his story went. I really don't know how Barabbas got out of this. Swap with Jesus. That was his cross right next to me there. And now this fellow Jesus was on it. Jesus, everyone knew about him. He was a good man teaching. His miracles. He was a godly man. And there he was, where he should not have been. Between me and the other fellow, the other guy. He was my friend. We were mates. We were in the same gang. And there were the crowds before us. There were amongst the crowds, there were VIPs and various celebrities. They came out to watch what was happening. And, you know, they ridiculed Jesus. Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. And, you know, my friend on the other cross, he started joining in. Heaping abuse on Jesus, calling him all sorts of stuff. I couldn't take it anymore. I was about to die, and so was my friend. Don't you fear God, I said to him. Come on, respect and honor God. Can't we get one thing right? Can't we get this right? This late moment in our lives? Face reality, I said. We deserve this. He doesn't. You know, I am glad. I'm glad of that moment. I'm glad of that moment when I realized what I am, what I was before the world, before the crowd, before my friends, more than that, what I was before God. It all came into me, all of a sudden, right before my eyes, my life flashed in front of me. I deserve to die. Not Jesus, though. I told my friend, this man has done nothing wrong. And then I found myself turning to Jesus. Me, a dying man on my cross, talking to him, a dying man on his cross. People still shouting, if you are the Christ, if you are the Christ, if. And it just came over to me, he is. He is the Christ. And I said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And as soon as the words came out of my mouth, I was just overcome with a sense of, well, who wants to remember me? Who is going to remember me? I've done nothing in my life. You can point at nothing that's worthy in my life in the past to say, yeah, that we could remember him for that. And I've got no future to put things right, to become memorable for any reason at all. I've got nothing. You can't have less than me to offer Jesus. I was deeply aware of it. It was all up to Jesus. It was up to his kindness, up to his love, up to his mercy. And you know what? He turned his face to me, and from his cross he said, today, you will be with me in paradise. Today. He told me that death wasn't going to be the end of him. And he told me that death wasn't going to be the end of me. Today you will be with me in paradise. 15 seconds to think about that criminal and his story and how his story relates to our stories, you and me. Truly, I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise. And then it's over to Paul.
Merciful Father, you made all people, and hate nothing that you have made, nor do you desire the death of sinners, but rather they should be converted and live. Have mercy on all who do not know you, or deny the faith of Christ crucified. Take from them all disregard, hardness of heart, and contempt for your word, and please bring them to your fold, blessed Lord, so that we may all become one flock under one shepherd, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. What a great prayer. Well, let's stand and let's sing together.